This is our last reading for the spring, and then we have many readings to come in the fall, including with some of the folks, poets in this room. So I'm looking forward to that. But mostly I'm looking forward to this evening and hearing water. I'm thinking about our first reader, as well as gold. Hala Liza Ghafouri is a translator, performance artist, poet, and musician. Her books include Gold, translations of poems by the 13th century mystic and sage Rumi, as well as a second volume of translations, Water, just out. Her awards include a McDowell Fellowship and a New York State Council on the Arts grant. Her work has been published by Columbia University Press, Harvard Review, Literary Hub, the Brooklyn Rail, and she performs her work widely. She lives in Brooklyn and is currently working on a book of original poems. About these translations, Anne Waldman has said, "These stunning translations of Master Rumi, at once gustatory and spiritual, cut the gloom of our existential doings, imperative now as ever to know this beauty and love." Hala Liza Ghafouri.
Thank you so much, Andrea. It's definitely a pleasure and honor to be here at this beautiful, wonderful series. And Andrea, the poem that you opened with also directed my reading, so I appreciate that. Because sometimes I don't know exactly which poem shall I read, but I think I heard some trigger words, which were good. So I'll start with one, Maulana Jalaluddin Muhammad Ibn Hussein Balkhi, a.k.a. Rumi, sometimes speaks to the imperious ego, sometimes speaks to the warmongers. Chegune barri ochar ke kesht misuzi, chegune abri ochar ke sang mibari. My heart breaks when I look out on the old turning wheel of the world, the trickery, the snares, the deception. My heart breaks when I see pain planted in the soil. What will it yield but more pain? What the world has called work, I work hard not to do. Man, what kind of lightning are you, setting farms on fire? What kind of cloud are you, raining down stones? What kind of hunter, caught in your own trap? A thief, stealing from your own house? You're 60 years old? You're 70 years old, and you're still uncooked, he says to the warmongering man. You're 60 years old, and you're 70 years old, and you're still uncooked, still won't let love's flames near, won't let them burn you up. Enthralled by stuff and status, the crown, the turban, the king's beard, thorns pricking your hands, and where is the flower? Gazing in the mirror, you tilt your hat like a crescent moon. Where is the light? If once, now he gets very optimistic, if once, for one day, you could sense the beloved's boundless love, you'd be a friend, a good friend. I swear to the essence of that love that loves us all, if you let it intoxicate you, kindness will reign. Benevolence will reign. Love is your true prince, your true sheikh. Take a step towards your true master, and you're no longer a horseman in the army. You're the head of a cavalry. Hold on to love's hand. Seek love's aid. Feel its warmth. Nothing else will save you from the ache of separation. On a desolate night, remember love. Feel dawn breaking within. How can night persist under a rising sun? While you sleep, love sits by your bedside, Love sits at your bedside, praying for you, weeping for you. If I say more, the world will burn. That's first poem. Sometimes he does these surprising confessional poems. I traveled to every city. There was none like the city of love. The city of love? I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what I was missing. Young and callow, I traveled from one city to another. All I knew was I ran. Young and callow, I ran from one city to another. All I knew was a searing loneliness. I didn't give love a thought. I walked straight out of love's honeyed fields and like a beast grazed on whatever grass I could find. I hungered for onions and leeks, not quail and honey, not manna. How could I long for what I hadn't tasted? A flower has no tongue, yet it tastes the rain. A flower has no throat, yet it drinks the rain. So I drank and tasted the wine of kindness and laughter. Without my knowing, without my doing, it seeped into me. Love called out to my soul. Come in, come close. I've built a house for you. It won't be free of sorrow or trial. Come anyway. No, I said, I won't enter. I resisted time and again. I ripped off my clothes, wailing in defiance. Come or go, love told me. I am here, closer to you than the vein in your neck. Then came the enchantment, toying, sweet words, the magic of the bounding world. Who am I not to be lured? And who am I when love obliterates the I thought I was, drawing me from one path, leading me on another? I could tell you, but every time I get to this point, the tip of my pen breaks. He says, Naon shiram kibodoshman baroyam. Maroin bas keman boman baroyam. Naon shiram kibodoshman baroyam. Maroin bas keman boman baroyam. To choke poyeshcham, to yagin don kazin gil. Tongol Susan Baroyam 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 Baroyam. I'm not that lion battling an enemy. Confronting myself keeps me busy enough. I am the soil, love seeds. Roses and lilies will bloom from this mud. I ached from separation. I cloaked myself in night, emerged a shining moon. Consumed in love's fire, I slip through any opening. I rise like smoke. I am a child, and love is my teacher, waking me from ignorance. Like love, I will live on, radiant and eternal, when this eating and sleeping are done. Till then, like Boubacar, the master musician, I quiet my mind and listen. In silence, we hear body become spirit. So he often brings us to silence at the end of a poem, at the end of a ghazal, where most poets would sign their name. He signed often his friend Shams of Tabriz, sometimes his Salahuddin, his friend Salahuddin, less often him. He liked Shams more. And sometimes he signs Khamush, which some people think is his pen name. Khamush means, or it's just an imperative to himself. Khamush means turn off the mind, turn off the tongue. Shh. And it's a coincidence that Khamush ends with shh. So, silence. And then he says, of course, the first word of his six-volume didactic narrative poem to human liberation, for human liberation, if you know, invoking human liberation, is Beshno, which means listen. So he says in one poem, listen to the musicians. Listen with your heart. Listen with your skin. Doors open. When melodies flood our ears, scorpions in the mind drown. Sorrow loses its sting. Honeyed notes on a singer's lips sweeten mine. Round after round of joy, and no one has drunk even a drop of wine. Music, music, the sweetest orator of all, has climbed into the pulpit. I will sell my tongue now and buy 1,000 ears. It's kind of a big deal for him to say that, too, because he was a preacher, and also to some, before he was a poet, and also to some, music was considered a sin to the very conservatives, to the very conservative. So when he says music has climbed into the pulpit, I will sell my tongue now and buy 1,000 ears. Sometimes he complains, which I enjoy hearing him complain on occasion. So I'll read you one of those. World of water and mud. Oh, by the way, the donkey appears in this poem, and the donkey in Persian literature and is a symbol of ignorance. And in the context of, you know, Rumi's poetry, the ignorance, as he said, I am a child and love is my teacher waking me from ignorance, is someone not awakened yet to this force of love that shakes you when he says, morde budam zende shodam geriye budam khande shodam dolat ish amad o man dolat payande shodam. I was dead, I came to life, I was tears, I am laughter. Love found me, shook me, woke me to the eternal love within. My eyes are sated with appearances. My eyes have seen all that eyes can see. My soul is bold. It leads with the shining warmth of Venus and the courage of a lion I follow. Right? So that's just a side note. But to say, I was dead, I came to life, and that awakening that happens when that love finds you, shakes you, and you come back around, the dervish, like the dervish coming back around to love again and again and again, because we remember and we forget and we remember and we forget and we remember and we forget. So he calls us, come back and come back and come back to love, to the verb loving, the ecstasy of love. What is the wine of love but the ecstasy of loving? Anyway, let's go to the complaint. But that was the donkey thing. So the donkey is the symbol of ignorance. Poor donkey. I mean, he's not really given a chance in Persian literature to evolve, even though, like, the central thrust is, let's evolve, humans. But the poor donkey is the static, you know, unevolved. Anyway, here we go. World of water and mud. Ever since I've known you, I've known trial, torment, and tribulation. You are a pasture for grazing donkeys, not the abode of Jesus. What am I doing in a pasture for grazing donkeys? Why am I here? World of water and mud, you tied my hands and feet. Why? So I notice my hands and feet? So I cherish them, untie them, meet my liberator? Only when the feast was spread did you pour the fresh water. Only when the feast was spread did we taste the sweet water. World of water and mud, God called you a cradle. Infant blossom, how do you mature so fast? The breeze touches me and I open. Petals fall, fruit ripens. While here I am, lifting my arms like a tree to the sky, praising the one who made the sky. But why insist on above and below when my source dwells in every here and every there? Why ask where of everywhere? Turn off the mind, turn off the tongue. Enter nothingness. See things through nothing's eyes. And that wonderful Eastern invitation to the emptiness, the silence, the narrative-free, chatter-free mind that allows, as in the next poem, it says, like the reed, stripped of its tassels and hollowed out. We are headless, empty enough to carry the music that wants to move through us. Another poem about emptiness. Last night in my dreams, I saw my hunger. I saw my need. I saw an emptiness only God can fill. Enchanted by the beauty of this poverty, I nearly fainted. Enchanted by its perfection, I lay awestruck till dawn. This poverty is a mine of rubies. Its red glow drapes me in silk. It's a nice visceral expression of God, that last couplet. Seekers on a pilgrimage, let's stay with God, why not? Seekers on a pilgrimage to the house of God, where are you going? And this, Andrea, you said treasure. You said man, treasure, water. We're going to get to water, of course. But here's some treasure. We'll do two treasures and one water. All right, here we go. Seekers on a pilgrimage to the house of God, where are you going? Where are you? Your beloved is here. Come back. Your beloved lives next door. Your beloved is right behind the wall. Why are you wandering round and round, lost in the desert? Look beyond form. Look into the faceless face of love. You are that love. You are the house, the dwelling place of love and its maker. You've traveled 10 times to see the house of God. You've described it in detail, all its exquisite features. Now tell me about the God inside. For once, enter your own house. Climb to the roof. If you saw the garden, where are the flowers? If you swam from God's sea, where is your soul's pearl? Searching for treasure. You've endured so much trouble. Hear this truth. You are the treasure and the veil hiding it. Another poem with treasure. I wasn't always this crazed, this rapt, this love drunk. Let me find this one so I don't make an error. I wasn't always this love drunk, this crazed, rapt, and enchanted. Driven by reason, on guard, I was a hunter. Calculating, charming, strategic. The heart is a tender thing, pulsing with blood, pulsing with life. That wasn't me. I wanted answers. What is this? What is that? And what will they be tomorrow? Awe? I knew nothing of awe. And the awestruck, those free from the gnawing need to know the unknowable, they didn't impress me. Sit down with me. You're a smart one. Consider what I was and what I no longer am. I wanted to be kingpin, top dog, bigger than big. Like smoke, I climbed greedily, going nowhere, a crooked plume, wayward, drifting over parched land, thirsty for meaning. I didn't know when love hunts you down, when you fall prey to love. you only rise higher. Continuing my futile climb, I fell. I fell like a gem out of a pile of dirt, not a hoarder of treasure. Treasure. Abe hayate eshro darege moravone kon ravone kon ravone kon aine saburo tajomeye shabone kon shabone kon tajomeye tajomeye shabone kon. That's the opening poem from Gold, but I'm going to read from Water. I'll just quickly read. I think we do have time. It's 18:30. I'm watching the time. Okay, you'll let me know. Just let me know. I like to. Sometimes one time they asked me to do 3 minutes and I ended up doing 18 minutes and I didn't realize it until I saw the video. And I was like, how did that happen? So that's why now I'm like, oh my God. Anyway. So the first poem in Gold, Let Love, Abe Hayat, the water of life. The water of life is one of the incarnations of love, one of the sort of expressions of love, or the ways he sees love as the water of life, and also Hafez, Abe Zendegi, this water of life that waters the ground within us and between us, ensuring gardens rather than battlefields emerge, this water of life that bubbles up from the depths of the soul. So he says, let love, the water of life, this is the primordial love that we emerge from. Let love, the water of life, flow through our veins. Let a love-drunk mirror, steeped in the wine of dawn, translate night. You who pour the wine, put the cup of oneness in my hand and let me drink from it till I can't imagine separation. Love, you are the archer. My mind is your prey. Carry my heart and make my existence your bullseye. ایش خردم شکار تو تیر زدن شعار تو شست دلم به دست کن جان مرا نشان کن آب حیات اش را در رگ ما روان کن The world's river stopped flowing. Season of warm rains, return. Let the river flow again. In the depths of the soul, there is a gushing spring, invisible to the eye. Love, the water of life, bubbles up from its depths, no end to it. Let love's spring feed the world's river. Where there is water, there is bread, my dear. But you can't squeeze water from bread. You are a guest on this earth, not a beggar. Don't trade the water of your soul for a morsel of bread. End to end, the whole material world is less than a single morsel. Greed for crumbs dries up the river. Greed for crumbs dries up the river. Sarasar jomle alam nim lughme, morsel. Zeher se nim lughme shod nahan ab. From a placeless place, beyond earth and sky, the water of life flows. The sky, its pitcher, the earth, its cup, the source, a boundless ocean. Don't delay, leap from the pond into that ocean. Again and again, there the fish is immortal. The ocean, capital O, ocean. The ocean, the shoreless, boundless sea. When he says, Eshkon, Bahris, Kashkeron, Olabnis, love is an ocean, no borders, no shores. That ocean. The ocean, the vision of that boundless ocean restores light to our eyes. Its waters run down the rooftop, flow through the spout, and feed the garden. Our faces, the blooming flowers. Dates from the garden's palms nourish the unborn savior inside the holy mother, inside of you. At sea, in that ocean, you find ease, you find joy. And the frantic watchman in you, shaking his rattle and banging his stick, falls silent. Boundless waters guard the fish. That vision of the divine and that vision of the fish as the mind, the human mind that needs the boundless waters that we are activating through the imagination, because the unfathomable is unfathomable. So he invites us, the vision of the boundless ocean, because we have to envision it however we need to envision it. And when he says, talking about the mind, he talks about the mind all the time. Mayandish, Mayandish, he says, don't think. Quit pouring thoughts like kerosene on everything fresh and green, burning it to the root. Be a fool, drunk on love and soaked with awe, till dry reeds are sweet as sugar cane. A lion leaps out of his cage. A man leaps out of his mind. Bravery is delicious madness. Not some circumspect, cagey thought, sly and ungiving. Why scheme for a morsel? Curb your insatiable hunger, and you won't be seduced by a trickster, nor reduced to being one. When greed groans, I play deaf. I love the imperative start, the sage. Don't think, telling us what to do. And in the end, the confession. When greed groans, I play deaf, you know, giving us a strategy because he knows what the human condition is. And he says, to brood is to wander through a dark grove where one sheep strays and 1,000 wolves follow. Why did I make brooding my vocation when awe was an option? Thought spinner, mull the wine of wonder. I think I'll stop there. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Lucky us. So we're going to change in just a second. Not the costume change will come later. Thank you so much, Hala. We needed that, I think, and we will need more of it. I'm going to introduce Fanny, and then we're just going to do a little change up here with the podium. As many of you know, Fanny has read here before, and Fanny has also read here first. In 1973, as you know, you were the first reader here with Bill Corbett, I believe. And so it's fitting that you are here again. Fanny Howe is the author of more than 20 books of poetry and prose, including Second Childhood, which follows Come and See, The Lyrics, and The Winter Sun, Notes on a Vocation. Her selected poems won the 2001 Lenore Marshall Poetry Prize, and she's received numerous awards, including the Ruth Lilly Lifetime Achievement Award, a Guggenheim, an NEA, a Bunting, and an award in literature from the American Academy and Institutes of Arts and Letters. And I'm guessing those things probably don't matter too much to Fanny Howe right now. I think it's the poems that matter. And in an interview in the Kenyon Review, she said, "If someone is alone reading my poems, I hope it would be like reading someone's notebook, a record of a place, beauty, difficulty, a familiar daily struggle. And I would add that someone reading those poems alone might also see a light coming on. Fanny Howe.
I'm going to read from a selection of poems that I'm preparing, which is taking me years because I'm so mentally disabled. But this is called This Poor Book because I've mangled it so many times. But that's its title now. And it's a strange thing I'm doing is taking all my books and just throwing them around and seeing where the poems land and against which ones. So there are no titles. There's just a stream. And I hope that works. This poor book. I see a child between a star and a boat. It's a silhouette, and there is the child again, now attached to the boat, all black. Look at the weather, the futile wipers beating. I see the child on dry land, now with his granny. Like the boy in his story, he sees fire in wood and words in smoke, and he is good, too good to be far from anyone old. The father and the son are still in a boat out there, with spinnakers curved like pillows, where they can rest their heads. Spindrift turns into curlews, confused by the weather news. The sky is a fish packed in ice. There is a low sun and stiff silver wands on the horizon, and the rudder groans as the father and the ghost pass on. To those I would die for, please be patient. It's summer somewhere. I hear good things. The ferry holds fast to the sound it makes, a rumble, a whistle, half-white raindrops racing and at war, glass that bristles and wrinkles at the sill. Children finger the window and blow, each one, all ones already away. When I walk by myself, I often hit a river with no water in it, black lyric undertow to preordained ethics, a template and a mirror of unmined silver. There some gems tear at their colors all night. Honey, I called. We were too late. God and the gods have moved outside the jeweled air and sun motes to where a mirror is, an amethyst minus a poet. If I can just keep walking, it will not be now but next. If I can stay with the gravity that troubles the sea, you'll see I will come to that day. Now I can taste its goodness without me. After the solstice has passed, the days contract, new green grays, and I'm off again. First the sky was yellow, then white snow followed. On a hand was an amethyst, a cube of lilac in hospital light. Whose fault is it when no one visits? Last night I dreamed I was in a peaceful place, but woke up freezing and ashamed. On a side street, on my sheets, one I loved passed as a shadow, maddish, reddish, his fist clenched for a fight. I recalled his body color, being soft like a child, the drunken nipples. Look at the snow, the ice, the rock that looks like a waterfall. No crocus, no beanstalk, no fruit, or sun dripping, iridescent rain. There will be no list outside a courthouse door giving your name or the hour of your appearance. No announcement of which of your friends was first, last, or in the middle. No more nostalgia. You are like a farmer in winter now. The trees billow under a vague gray sky. Nearby and not far away, suffering. And at the end of me, but if I know I have everything, then I can begin. Lucky to enter completion, conscious. Lucky to be well, to have my cell. Wine, words, wafer, in all their forms. What was that island we were on? If it wasn't a vision but an actual place, who is that stranger beside us? Please forgive me for insisting. It must have been a dream. No one could survive such happiness. A day is a freely given poem. It can be short or long. Contradiction, coincidence, an emotional experience, perseverance through hell, stiff lip, a series of events you must not forget. 12 sunsets, 29 dawns, all in one. An epiphany. How long your hopes last until they can't. No providence, but a grope in the galley of simultaneity. Poor us. Here, but not why. It's the proximity problem. Being stuck inside a body unknown to it or anyone. So the sticking to things, associations, no way to free dog or color from surrounding whys. This about existence, paper-littered river, and the first wish, 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 water. When donkeys traveled without glancing to the side, long-lashed and buckled inside their own hide, when they brayed for joy into the gray industrial clouds, and the cows replied like balloons deflating into moos. The strain on the immaculate heart was as grave as it could get. Awful pity to be so blessed as to pound for happiness. I tasted the word, and it wasn't bitter until it reached my solar plexus. Then its letters grew thin as wires, tincture of benzedrine, the deep red stain of iodine. Like Mastroianni's smile, its seductive irony, that I must adore or die. Sweet as religion without ethics, an emptying mind on the road. No more crucifix or dogma, an electromagnetic altar. Before the star bowl tips and I can fall without fear, how will I support a bed, a candle, the chilly sheets, the thoughts of a planet girdled by rust? I've been 12 winters in this auxiliary stardrome, spaces dominated by ice. Heat-resisting contacts, chilled to shrivel, like diamond mines spanked on the bosoms of the idol, and the sparkle of sweat in the creases of the rest. This is such an old story, listen. The poor are hardworking, and the rich get more through talking. Money has always been huge and out of sight like God. Who does not exist, but is? Yes, you, the lip of the cosmos, its cervix way out, silver and flat. You, the sun revolving around us, Earth self caught, parsed, and drowned. Lost won't admit she's lonely or it's late. Cellophane leaves orange on the scoop window panes. Children's things are stuck on everything. Say it, they're divine. Go outside, tear down the crucifix, stop the folk stories, peppermills and girls sacrificed for gold. Nail up the sacred heart. You've got to start walking again as what you have become since childhood put you in relation to star, road, rotation. Was in the month of Mary that I lost my desire to pray. It seeped away like yellow until it was as blurred as sorrow. It was me passing on my hope to a solo. God became weak and subtle. Birdsong was my last communion. The chirp of karma, the caw of eros, piercing delirium, the laugh of the futile. A sacred heart with wings, fruit of the whistle, the lyrics of the sparrow. Orange lilies of freckled brown, both seed and paper rotting. But there is a weary subzone at the level of wood. The principle is understood to be failure at a certain level, dreadful numbness hitting just when the sun penetrates the hill. Like a squint before a squadron. Then someone welcomes the mother's return as a virgin. So that's it.